to all those who have served and are serving. So if you have served or are currently serving, could you actually not just stand? I'd love you to come up forward here. Come on up. Come on up. We wanted to say thank you, and let's pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, what a gift it is to stand beside some incredible people who have given up so much, who have given so much. Lord, we thank you most of all that they are in your army, that they are soldiers of Christ. And Father, we think of all those who are serving right now. Lord, we ask for their protection. Lord, we ask for their blessing. Lord, we think of all the family members of those who are serving and who have served, who have gone through so much. Lord, we ask for blessing upon them. And Father, just thank you that you are God who honors those who honor you. And Father, just thank you for the gifts that men and women have given to serve us, to keep us safe, to keep us protected. Lord, we thank you for the blessing not only that they have been to America, but as America stands strong and as we were built on the truths from the Word of God, the world is blessed. And so we just thank you for that. We ask for your continued blessing on these five here and the family members and those who are currently serving and those who have also served in the past. Lord, just bless them so that they can continue to be a blessing to us. Thank you for their service, Lord. Thank you for what they have done, for their caring hearts, for their love and their grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, guys. All right. Pretty special. Hey, a couple things here. First, all kids are going to head downstairs. And we're also having some preparation for the Christmas program, so we're going to ask that all kids from high school down head on downstairs if you're interested in being a part of the Christmas program.
Oh,
at 12:15. Thank you. What's that? 12:15 for kids choir, but I think they wanted. Do we want to go downstairs now for? Oh well, 12:15. There we go. Okay. Okay. Sunday school's now, so all kids can head downstairs for Sunday school. We're getting it together here. All right. That's okay. No worries. Okay. Okay. So fifth grade and down. All right. Well, thank you for serving our country and protecting our freedoms. I want to tell you about a man who served and was in battle. As you guys know, we've been going through the life of David, the rest of the story. And we've been hitting some of the stories that are less known as we look at the life of David. And one of the things that we've been talking about here at the church and we keep coming back to, and I want to keep doing that, is the area of discipleship. And I want to remind you, on the back table, there are these pamphlets on discipleship. If you're wanting to take somebody through discipleship program, this is a 7-week discipleship program that you can take one person through. It's a mentoring program. It's just something to help get things started and kind of help start the dialogue and just an encouragement as we continue to go, to keep looking, be praying for who is it, Lord, that you want me to invest my life into. You know, as you guys look around, I want you to see some of the younger people that we have. And by younger, I mean younger than you. But think of, you know, I was in a situation myself where I had men step in and be my spiritual father, and it made all the difference in my life because it gave me people to go to with the questions that I had, with the challenges that I was facing. And boy, the more that we can have men and women mentoring other men and women, it is going to be a blessing for our church. So as we start up here, I titled the message today, A Veteran in David's Day. And I want to look at this man, and this is a man, Eliezer. And he's quite a man because he's one of David's mighty men. And he's talked about in 2 Samuel 23, and we're going to look at him in verses 9 and 10. And this guy is a stallion, because he knows what it means to be committed, what it means to fight, what it means to go in and do what he needs to do. In 2 Samuel 23, we're given a list of David's mighty men. And then we're going to focus today on this one guy. But as these men came to David, all these men that were David's mighty men, they came to him when he was a rebel. They started following him when he was on the run. And then they grew with him. And, you know, I think that some of them may have even seen him when he was a boy going against Goliath and seeing the bravery and the courage and the understanding. And you've got these men who have battled with David, who have fought with David, who have been with him for a lot of years. And they served their country and their God at great risk, and they were rewarded with honors in due time as they shared things with David, their king. And this morning, we're going to focus on Eliezer and how he connected and how he served his king and country. Let's turn to 2 Samuel 23, starting in verse 9. 2 Samuel 23, starting in verse 9. After him was Eliezer, the son of Dodo, a Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines who were gathered there for battle. And the men of Israel had retreated. He arose and attacked the Philistines. You see, guys, it takes godly character to go against the flow. It takes godly character to go where other people are not going, especially when people are retreating. And here we have a battle where the Israelites, they're retreating. They're literally going away. They've come prepared for war. They've got their swords in hand. They've got their bows. They've got their arrows. And rather than going to the battle, what's happening? They're retreating from the Philistines. They're retreating from the battle. And it says there's one man, and his name is Eliezer, and who gathered there for battle, and the men of Israel had retreated. He arose and attacked the Philistines. It takes godly character to go against the flow. You know, Eliezer wasn't lost in the crowd. Guys, sometimes we have situations where when we're called to battle for the Lord here and now, where other people are retreating around us. Have you ever been in a situation where somebody says something negative against God or the Word of God, and then the heads just kind of either go down or they kind of get quiet? And people don't speak out enough. You know, what we are seeing in the schools today is everything's coming in and is being okay. That's all these ideas from the world. And the truth of God is being harder and harder to have in the schools. When I was in school, we would have these programs where we could be on school grounds and we could have prayer groups on the school grounds, and some of the teachers were even allowed to be involved. And now there's just this huge list of do's and don'ts. And, you know, America was created so that we could have freedom to worship.
not freedom from worship. And we are called to stand. We are called to stand for truth, and that means that at times we're going to have to go against the flow. And it's going to be difficult at times. But one of the things I want you to notice what Eliezer did not do, he didn't stop and say to the people who were going the wrong way, what are you doing? Look at you. You guys are running. What are you thinking? You know, it's very easy when you see people not standing to go and start criticizing and to get negative and to go so that you're just starting to now attack what's not being done. You know, we see this sometimes in the church where, you know, as we're growing, we have new needs that we didn't have yesterday, don't we? We have new challenges that we face. And one of the challenges that comes with that is, as people, we can either say, man, what is God calling me to? How can I get involved? Or we can say, you know what? This isn't being done. And then we can get negative about what's not being done. But I want to encourage you, if you see something at the church here that needs help, guess what? God has allowed you to see that for a reason, so that you can stand and turn and go into the battle, so that you can go in to serve and give and do. And we've got a lot of new Bible studies that are starting up. We've got a lot of different activities that are taking place, and we even have the scouts here. A lot of opportunities to serve, a lot of opportunities to get involved here in this very church. But Eliezer, when he's going into the battle, he's not focused on what people aren't doing. He quietly stops, turns, rises, and goes into the battle and leads by example. I think one of the reasons that he led by example is because he had an example of David. He had an example of his king, who was the kind of king that when he went into battle, he was victorious because most of the time he was going in to honor God. He was going in to do what God had called him to do. And he went in with heart and he went in with zeal. What an example for the church. If we see weakness in the church, we don't criticize, we go in, we serve, and we do. Eliezer was a man of action, committed, because he had godly character. But I also want to share with this, he was just a man. He wasn't this, we think, sometimes when you hear the words David's mighty men, you might think that they were maybe not like us. Maybe there was something special, maybe they had different gifts, maybe, no. He was a normal man. He was a regular man who was committed, who was trained, but who was committed. And we see in verse 9b, and the men of Israel had retreated. He arose and attacked the Philistines until what? Until his hand was weary. Until his hand was weary. Now, guys, I want you to know, Homer invited me on Thursday to play some basketball with him. It was an over 40s league, and there were some people who were younger than 40, by the way. I noticed. I was so excited because when it was over, I didn't think I was injured. But as I was going home, I looked down when I got home and I noticed one knee was really swollen. I hadn't injured it. It was just really swollen. I haven't played basketball in a long, long time. And then I tried to raise my shoulder to take off my shirt to get in the shower, and I couldn't because my arm hurt. I still, ow, that's as far as it goes without extreme pain. My hamstring hurts. About 5 minutes in, for the first 5 minutes, I was running down the court. I'll be there in a minute. You see, sports is kind of like it's the competition, it's the battle. And the reason that I was not able to produce the way I wanted to produce is because I wasn't prepared. I wasn't in shape. It was day one coming back after way too long away. That's not what's happening here with Eliezer. It's not that his hand grew weary because he wasn't prepared for battle. It's that his hand wasn't prepared, what was exhausted, his hand grew weary because he had been fighting so much. You know, as you look at... Any chance I have to bring out my sword, I'm happy. As you look at... I'll stand back. I saw people lean. I brought this out and I... Whoa. You know, as you look at the sword, when you're grabbing this, this will get heavier as time goes on. And as you're going in for the battle, as you keep fighting, one of the things that happens is some people will, their hands will literally form to the sword. And when you're battling and battling and battling, and you're done, your hand is in this shape afterwards. Frozen. Frozen. He was committed and he was exhausted because he was so successful in battle. And think, all his guys are going this way and he's going into the battle. And then a little bit later on in the next verse, it says, the Lord brought about a great victory that day. Guys, listen to that. He got exhausted. He was going against, he was not surrounded by his people. And yet there was victory. There was victory. So one of the things that I find really encouraging is God doesn't allow us, God lets us go into battle, but when we go into battle and we battle in his strength and we battle for him, it's the Lord's victory. It's the Lord's victory. And he didn't become weak and exhausted to the point of having to set the sword down until what? The battle was won. The battle was won. I find this extremely encouraging because I want to know that if I'm going into a battle, I can finish it. But I promise you, if you go into a battle against the enemy, and spiritually speaking, and you go in your own strength, you will be cut down quickly. You will be humbled quickly. But if you go in and the battle is the Lord's and you stand on truth and you stand on the truth in love, because guys, one of the things that's different about the spiritual battle is we're called to go to battle. And it's another lesson that was learned, that we learned from David, which is this. When David went into battle against Goliath, right before that, his brothers were giving him a hard time. And David could have turned his fight towards his brothers. They were saying, you just came here to be seen by the people. Go take care of your sheep. When he was just a boy. And David could have turned his fierce anger on his brothers. But he wasn't angry. He knew where the battle was. The battle was against this enemy of God. And he went to serve and to fight where the battle needed to be fought. Eliezer, here he is coming into battle, and it's the battle belongs to the Lord. He didn't grow weary until the victory had been won. Another thing that I see is that he had commitment and zeal. It says, he arose and attacked the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand stuck to the sword. When it sticks to the sword, it's not only growing weary, it stuck to the sword in such a way that it showed the commitment, the zeal, the passion that he had. He was not willing to release the fight. Guys, I promise you, if you go into the spiritual battle, if you go in and serve God in the schools, in the community, if you stand for the Lord, it will be exhausting. If you decide, you know what, I'm going to allow the scriptures to change my life in such a way that I no longer do what I want to do. I no longer give the enemy say over my life, but I choose to do what God's word tells me I need to do, to be obedient to God and to love him back. When we are obedient to God, we are going against the spiritual powers of this world, and the battle will be great. We have to be committed. We have to be committed. What are you committed to? What is it that you are fully committed to? Is it the Lord? Is it the truth of the word? I want you to take a moment. Think about your life right now. What is happening in your life? How do you respond to the challenges that you are facing? Let's go to our family. I tell you, when I look at my family life, I've got areas where I've got failure, where I'm going in my own strength, where I am trying to change things because they should be changed. And what happens when I go in for that kind of battle in my strength is I start hurting the people that are closest to me. I start causing destruction. But when I go into the Lord's battle and in his strength and his way, the commitment doesn't cause the people around me to be slashed down. It's the enemy that's slashed down. It's the enemy. Let's keep going. Verse 10, he arose and attacked the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand stuck to the sword. The Lord brought about a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to plunder. You see, as he goes in, the Lord brought about a great victory that day. The battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. And he goes in humility, knowing that it's what he's called to do for God. But something happens at the end there. It says, and the people returned after him only to what? Only to plunder. Only to take the spoils of war. You know, something that happens after battle is what is lying around the people that have just been slaughtered? Their stuff. Their stuff. Their weapons. And so these same people who were running away when the battle started are now like, well, he did pretty good. Have you ever seen one of the things that drives me crazy is the fair weather fan? You know, I love sports. We were at the game last night. It was cold last night. And we were at the Husky game. The boys and I went with Glenn. And oh, my goodness, it was cold. Great game. We started out behind. We came back. But there's something that fairweather fans do a lot, and that's boo. And that's boo. And one of the things that I don't like is the booing. You know, I don't like when the other team runs out on the field, how you boo. But what I really don't like is when your own team doesn't perform well. And then the fans turn and start booing the very people they came there to support. Well, here's a battle where everything has turned. Everything has turned because the people are running away from what they've been called to do. They're running away from the battle. And as they're running away, one man goes in and he goes in for the fight. And then when all is said and done, and think about what took place here. Think about how many people were brought down by the sword. And now here are these same people, these same warriors who weren't warriors at the time, coming back to take of the plunder. What do you think is the response from us from a base point of view? Excuse me, you want to come back and take of the plunder that I was a part of and you weren't? The people come back in, and he once again doesn't go at the people. He once again doesn't bring the battle to the wrong place. Guys, one of the things that's so important, as we go on in ministry, we're going to have some people who are strong at different times. We're going to have some people that God has called, they answer the call, and they go in, and God does amazing things through. And something that can happen there on the other side is where the people saying, oh, he's going to get knocked down. Look at what we've got to be supportive of each other. And that means that there are times where you're going to be the one called to stand forward and to move forward and to go and do the into the spiritual battle. And there are times where you're going to be in a supportive role. But I want to encourage you, we need to be in this together. And that means we got to protect each other. You know, Isaac and Thomas just had tryouts for their basketball team. And as I went to the last tryout, to the end of the last tryout, and I watched them play, and they were both playing really well, Thomas for the 7th grade team, Isaac for the 8th grade team. And I remember there was about 20 minutes where I was, after it was over, I went out to wait in the car. And I was just waiting to hear. We didn't know if one of them or both of them made the team. And as a parent, you're just kind of sick inside. And then they got in the car, and Isaac had already found out, and he made it. And Thomas got in the car, and he had this look on his face, and I couldn't see it. I was like, how'd it go, buddy? What happened? Did you make it? And he goes, I don't know. I said, excuse me. He goes, well, I haven't opened the letter yet. And he still had it in his hand, and I was like, open it! And he opened it, and he made the team. But, you know, just different personalities showing themselves that way. But it was very interesting, as, you know, there was such emotion in that. And a lot of those kids that tried out, there was a ton of kids that didn't make the team. And one of the things that the boys found out, that was on a Thursday, and one of the things the boys found out was on the Friday, there were some guys that were going in that were saying, well, he shouldn't have made the team, or he should have made the team, I should have made it instead. And I said to Isaac, I said, you need to stand behind your teammates. You protect them. You stand up for them. If somebody says he shouldn't have, he said, no, he's part of the team. He should have made it. The coaches saw a lot of different stuff that we don't see. Now, do coaches make mistakes? Absolutely. But they needed to stand by each other, because if they start saying, oh, yeah, you're right, he should have made the team, and this guy right here, he shouldn't have, and all of a sudden they're divided before they ever get started. But as part of the team, they need to support each other. They need to be behind each other. In the Christian walk, we need to be behind each other. We need to be supportive. And when somebody says something, guys, it's difficult. Sometimes it feels like you're going straight alone into the fight when you stand up for a brother or a sister who's being talked poorly about by somebody else. And we can do that in a way that's not divisive, but is encouraging and stands. And one of the things I think we'll find is when we stand up for each other is we learn that we don't tear each other down. You know, we learn that if I see a brother stand up for another brother that I'm coming against, one of the lessons I've learned is, you know what? I can't talk trash about people in front of that brother, because he's going to stand up for what's right. So now I've learned I've got to be careful. And now I'm starting to deal with, wait a second, maybe I shouldn't trash my brother. Maybe I should try and support. We're in this together, aren't we? I just want to encourage you, if there are people in this family that you've hurt, what does the Word of God say? Go to them. Go to them and say, I'm sorry. Apologize. Ask for forgiveness. And if somebody asks for your forgiveness, what do you need to do? Forgive. Forgive. Guys, we're family. We're church family. And the spiritual battle is real. And you know, we understand battles that we can see where there's weapons and people going down. But guess what? In this spiritual battle, there are incredible weapons. And people all around us are going down. And when we stand for truth, when we are willing to be like Eliezer and go into the battle and fight in truth of our Lord Jesus Christ, there are blessings, because the battle is the Lord's. And this is a man, the reason I use this story is for our second to last time in the book of 1 and 2 Samuel, in the life of David, is because I wanted us to be thinking, what impact am I having on those around me? Because here David has been king for a while. He had years of doing well and things going great. And then he had some bad years, didn't he? And then he had some years where he was trying to cover up the junk. And then the consequences, which we went over last week, of all the junk that goes on in his family. Rape in his own home and murder. And everything starts falling apart. And he's forgiven by God, but there are still consequences to his family from his sin. And he moves forward and God blesses and God redeems and God blesses and blesses and the battle doesn't end. But we see different men, different people who have been by his side starting to be like him as he was honoring God. And I want to encourage you, there are people who are watching you. They're watching what you're doing. They're seeing how you respond when gossip is being shared. Are you being quiet and allowing it to just happen and retreating and running away from the battle? Are you attacking the wrong enemy? Or are you, rather than being sarcastic and attacking the wrong, are you going into the battle in the strength of the Lord and standing for what's right and standing for what's good? How about for family members? How about at work? Guys, we have a testimony that we're giving every single day to the people we work with. They see what we do, how we live. And when they see somebody who's willing to stand for righteousness, it sets them apart. The Lord brought about a great victory that day. Bravery doesn't mean you aren't scared. It means you go anyway. Guys, we need to be brave soldiers for Christ. We need to be willing to say that, you know what? I'm going in to battle here. I'm willing to stand today for him. Where is God asking you to stand? I want you to think right now. Where is God asking you to stand for him in truth and in love? Because the weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of this world. And the enemy that we fight against is not our brother and sister, but it's against the principalities of this dark world. Know where the battle is. Be willing to go in. Be willing to serve. It's going to be costly. It's going to be costly. I want to ask, in closing, I want to ask, what do you do when you're coming back from the battle and you see the spoils and you didn't participate? What do you do when you're some of the people who have run away from the battle and now you're coming back in? Guys, I want to challenge us. When we have run away from the battle, it is so easy to start looking differently and bringing the person who did what was right down. And bring them down to how I feel. Because when I wasn't honoring God, I had these consequences happen to me. I had these realities that I had to deal with. And now I'm going to bring the person who was willing to fight for the Lord down to where I am feeling. And I want to encourage you, rather than going for the spoils yourself and bringing the person down, I want to encourage you, let's leave. And let's say, how do I prepare for the battle? How do I prepare my heart ready for the battle? I wanted to leave a few minutes at the end here. I wanted to have a chance. I'm going to pray. And then, if there is anybody, as we go to, if we could have actually just a little bit of music as we pray. And if there's a time during the music that you want to just kind of talk to God, pray sitting where you're at, if you want to come forward, however you want to do it, being quiet before the Lord, praying before God. If there is something in your heart that is not right, I want us to have some time of prayer. So let's close in prayer here. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you are the Lord who is victorious already. God, we thank you that you know what it's like to battle. You were willing to come and battle on our behalf when we were unable to do for ourselves what you had to do for us. You did it. Father, you chose to die on the cross in our place. And we are so grateful. Father, we want to follow your example. Like Eliezer followed David's example here of going into battle, of standing in the gap, Lord. We desire to follow your example. Lord, the world around us is telling us the exact opposite of what's right and what's wrong. And it is so easy to be silent. It is so easy to be quiet and to not say anything and to not fight back in your spirit and in truth. So, Father, we ask for your wisdom to know how to respond to certain challenges that are before us, Lord. Father, forgive us for where we have relied on our own strength. Forgive us for where we've stepped back. Forgive us where we've come against those and not had the back of the people who have been willing to go and fight. Father, we desire unity. The unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. We desire to be together. And Father, quite honestly, we have been at a time where our country has been literally split in two. Lord, we've just been reminded through this time of elections that we are not united. That there is, Lord, it's not that one group has one idea and another has another idea and we're both working from different angles for the common good and see it differently. So much of what we've been hearing is these people are evil and wrong and do it wrong. And Lord, I'm so excited that all those political ads are done. Father, we've been trying to be divided and conquered for a while here. And Lord, our country right now, my concern is that it almost feels like two separate groups. Father, I ask that you would unite us as a country. You would unite your people. Lord, thank you for a beautiful example here. We have every nationality, just about every, we are of all different kinds here, all different colors and cultures and Lord, all different political views, and yet we're one in Christ. Father, we pray for our president, Barack Obama. We pray for the next 4 years. We pray that you would be speaking into his life, that you would be blessing him, that he would be growing in his walk with you. Lord, that he would be changing and growing and becoming more like you, that he would have men who are involved in his life who are causing him to grow in his walk. Father, we pray for all those who are elected officials. Lord, we pray that rather than pulling each other apart, we would find ways of working with each other and dealing with a divided country. Lord, we have so many people who are suffering and struggling, and we've got different ideas of how to make it better. Lord, we pray for your direction as a country. We pray that we would come together under your truth, Lord. We pray for all our officials, all our leaders, that they would be blessed. We pray for those who do know you, that they would grow in you. And we pray for our leaders who don't know you, that they would be humbled before you. Father, as we look at this Veterans Day, as we look at what it means to sacrifice, to give of yourself, Lord, what a beautiful example it is that we give of ourselves. So, Lord, show us where we can serve, where we can give, where we can do. Father, I just pray that as we take about just a couple minutes, Lord, if there's anything in our hearts that is not right, if there's any area of that we would first do business with you, and Lord, that we would then go to a brother or a sister and talk to them. If it's a family member at home, that we would share with them, that we would call. Maybe it's somebody that somebody hasn't talked to in 15, 20 years because of unforgiveness. Lord, we pray for reconciliation. We pray for reconciliation for us, for our people, for our families, for our friends. Lord, humble us for your glory. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just take a few minutes here.